I've come to just to be aware of the question that seems to be asked of me. The last few weeks has been asked of me a lot. And I find it very interesting. And the question is, what are you going to do this weekend? What exciting things are you going to do this weekend? And my first response is, I do something exciting every single day. I'm not just waiting for the weekend. Who waits for the weekend? I mean, really, who waits for the weekend to do something exciting? I mean, you got to be down and out if you're waiting 5 days to be something exciting for a day, maybe a day and a half, and then you're worried about Monday again. Like halfway through today, you start getting worried about Monday again. So who waits for that? Who waits for something it's exciting to happen on the weekend? Well, I was asked that this week. I was in the bank with my dad, and one of the tellers said, and there was no one else in there, just my dad and the teller and I and the other teller, and the one that wasn't busy said, "So what are you going to do exciting this weekend?" And I just found out again another time I said, "My life is fairly exciting just the way it is. I don't wait for the weekend." And my dad said, "He's going to preach this weekend." That's what my dad steps up and says, "He's going to preach this weekend." And she said, "Oh, you're going to preach. Are you going to something special? Are you doing something?" I said, "No, I pretty much." She said, "Are you very nervous?" And I said, I'm always kind of nervous. I said, I've done this a some, but I still get nervous when I preach on the weekends. And we began to talk a little bit more, and I'm always interested in how no other customers come in at certain times when God's doing something. When God's turning something around, other customers just aren't there. And I found it very interesting, and all of a sudden she wanted to know what I would be preaching on. And so, just so you know, I practiced this message on Friday at the bank. And just so you know, the teller got the notepad out and started taking notes. I'm doing something exciting. God's turning things around. God's doing an amazing thing in our midst. And so here we go. This is the second time I preached this message. Here we go. If you were at the bank, which you weren't, if the bank lady's here, welcome. And I began to talk about the four sides of a building. And I began to talk about, I said, if I wanted someone to describe this building, but I just kind of made a building. If I wanted 25% of you to describe this box, you would begin to describe this box of what you see about this box. If I would say, okay, in 3 minutes, the 25% of you, you're done. Another 25% of you, now it's your turn to describe this box. And you would go and you would write down what you see and you would make a description of the box. 3 minutes later, I say, all right, you're done. The next 25%, you're going to describe this box. And you're going to spend your 3 minutes and you're going to write down the details of this box. And I said, okay, the final 25%, you're going to describe this box. And you're going to write down all the details of this box. And then we're going to start to realize when we start putting our notes together that maybe, just maybe, there's enough similar on each side of this box that we're describing the same box. All the way down, it's wood, it's this, it's that, it's got a red band, it's got some white, it's got different letters on it, it's got the J, the L, the M, and another M. And we would start to put our notes together and we would say, whoa, I wonder if that's the same box. Now, I used the bank on Friday. Is this the same building? Is this the same box? Are we describing the same thing, only looking at different sides of this? That's what the Gospels are. That's what the first four books of the New Testament are. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four sides of Jesus. Are looking at the gospel. They're the gospel writers. They're writing the gospel. We know that Matthew was the tax collector and come disciple. We also know that John was a disciple. But then we also know Luke and Mark were travel companions of some of the disciples. But each one of these individuals would take notes, and they were walking alongside of those walking with Jesus or walking with Jesus themselves, and they're taking notes, and they're describing the box that they see, and they're talking about the gospel. We call it the gospel. The gospels, we call it. The gospel means good news or God news. And so they're taking all this time, and they're getting the four sides of this good news. What does this good news look like? What's all four sides of this good news? What the good news, it's not only good news, it's the best news possible. And these four guys get chosen to walk around this good news. These four guys get chosen to see all the sides or 25% of the sides, and they get chosen to write down what they see for all of eternity, for all of history. They get to write it down what they see, the good news. What is this good news that they get to talk about? Matthew says this very early in his book. He says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And they get to talk about, now they're going to start describing this light. They're going to start describing that who stepped down into darkness. Who is the light that stepped down into darkness? And they're going to start talking about this light because it's such a good news. It's such a monumental moment in all of history. And they start recording what they see, and they start recording what they know, and they start recording what they are experiencing, because they are walking with Jesus. And Jesus is the one who stepped down into darkness. Jesus is the one who came to the earth. He was the one that stepped down into the death, the shadow of death. The light of the world stepped down. The light of all heaven, all of creation, stepped down into darkness. And then he chose these four guys to write about him and who he is and what he wants to do in your life and in my life. What an honor to be one of the gospel writers. What an honor to walk it out, but not only walk it out with Jesus, but to record everything that you're being seeing and experiencing, or a large portion of that, to all of creation can know, all of mankind to come in the future can know about this light of the world that stepped down into darkness. And we see that Matthew shows Jesus as the king. We know that. We know that Matthew shows Jesus as a king, and we have the lineage of Jesus in the beginning of Matthew, because he's the king. He's rightfully on the throne of David. He's the king that you've been waiting for. He's the one in the Davidic covenant that God made with David, that you will never lack a man on the throne, a descendant of yours on the throne. And Matthew takes careful to point that out. He is the king that we've been waiting for. He is the king! Then we see Mark. Mark shows the side of Jesus that's the suffering servant. I came to serve, not to be served. Those statements that Jesus makes. And Mark has this eye for the service that Jesus. Matthew has this eye for the kingship of Jesus. Mark has this eye for the servanthood of Jesus. And he gets to write about the king servant. And then we see Luke, another time we have the lineage of Jesus and Luke, because it's his man, it's his connection, it's his humanity, he's a man. It gives evidence that Jesus was not just a glowing entity or just appeared to be a man. He was man, and we knew that God knew that we needed that. And I find it very interesting that God chose a doctor to give evidence that he was human. Because we know Luke was a doctor. Isn't that funny? I just love that. I love that when God uses those things. And so here a doctor is giving evidence that Jesus is man. And now we see that John gives evidence that Jesus is God. that he is God. There is no lineage at all in John, and there's no lineage in Mark of Jesus. Only in Matthew and Luke is there the line of Jesus. Why? Because no one cares where the suffering servant comes from, and God has no family tree. So these four guys looking at their 25%, and they're writing everything that they see, and they're being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what they see, and then they put it all into one component, and his name is Jesus. Matthew, King; Mark, servant; Luke, man; and John, God. For the next few weeks, I want to reach into each one of those Gospels. I want to reach into there, and I want to pull something out. We got 5 weeks till Easter. We're going to reach into every gospel. Today, Matthew, then Mark, Luke, and John. And then the next Sunday is going to be Easter. And we're going to unleash all that light of the world did for you and I. But we're going to unleash that. We're going to reach into Matthew this morning. We're going to reach into Matthew, and we're going to pull this out. What do we want? What do you want us to know? And I know we can't do 28 chapters. I know. I paraphrased the book of Matthew for one of my classes in college. I wrote 82 pages to paraphrase the book of Matthew. There's a lot. We could be here all day. Little Ryan asked me, are we going to sleep here today? And I don't know if that's a prophetic word or not, but maybe we are. But if we reached into everything that Matthew wanted us to do, we'd be here for days and days and days. But just let me pull out some of the stuff that the King is saying to you and to me. And Matthew says this 37 times in 17 chapters. He says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. 37 times in 17 chapters, he says that phrase. He writes that phrase. And I got to tell us, if he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about a king. Because there is no kingdom without a king. And Matthew's just laying on there. This is what the king has come, the king has come, the king has come. But what does the king say? What does the king say? It's easy to say, King Jesus. But what's he saying? If he's the king, he gets to make the calls. If it's his kingdom and he's running his kingdom, shouldn't we know what the king says? And shouldn't we say, yes, king? Yes, king. So this is the first thing he really says to the wide open public. He says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's here. The kingdom of heaven is near. Not near on the calendar so much as near you. You can touch it. The kingdom of heaven is near. You need to repent. You need to repent. You know what the king's saying there? You know when we just pull out what the king's saying there? The edict from the king or the decree from the king. You know what the king's saying there? Change your thinking. The first thing I need you to know is that my kingdom is not of this earth, and my kingdom is different than anything you've ever been used to. You're going to need to change your thinking. Jesus has no small print. He says it right up front. He said your thinking is so far away from kingdom thinking. Your thinking, we can call it stinking thinking, we do sometimes around here, but your thinking is so far from kingdom thinking, you're going to need to know, you got to change your thinking. Because I'm going to do things that you don't think are of me. You're going to do things that you think you're programmed for or something you've learned from man, and you're going to think it's kingdom stuff. It's not kingdom stuff. You're going to need to change your thinking. You need to think differently. Romans even tells us that you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to think differently. The way you're thinking is not working. And Jesus says that with every bit of love that he has, every bit of saturated love that he is. And he says, I want so much for you. I want so much for you. And I stepped into your world. And I want you to receive the decree. Just let me change your thinking. Just let me change it. It'll be amazing. You got to wait to see what kind of thinking I'm going to give you. But you're going to have to trust me. The king's decree, it says, you need to change your thinking. You need to think differently. Look what he says to the next group of people. Matthew 4:19. Come follow me, Jesus said. Come follow me. Are you going to follow me? He said, I'm inviting you to follow me. I'm inviting you. It's a decree from the king. And he's inviting you to follow him. He's inviting me to follow him. Come follow me. The king invites us to be a part of what he's doing. When we are in the king's service, he is not in ours. We are in the king's service. He is not in ours. You do not get to drag Jesus around and use him at your will. He is not your spare tire. He is not your, safety net. He is King Jesus, and he makes a decree. You're going to need to change your thinking, and you can follow. I'm inviting you to follow me. Will you follow me? Will you receive my decree, he's saying. Hang on. He's setting up for something out of this world. But he's got to preface all that with saying, you're going to need to change your thinking, and you're going to need to follow me. Because if you don't, you're going to be lost. You're going to be without hope. You're going to be thinking you're going somewhere that you're not going. You've got to follow me. I am the king. The king says, I will lead. You follow. The other half of that verse says, come follow me. Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Isn't that a beautiful statement? I will make you fishers of men. Let's reach into Matthew and get the next decree out. I will make you fishers of men. If your business is about business, it's not God. If your business is about man, it's God. Because God says, when you follow me, you've got to know that people will become more important to you. People are going to become more important to you. You're going to start seeing people. You're going to start seeing people like I see people. Don't you love it? I just love it the way God's setting this up. You're going to need to change your thinking because you've got some thinking that's upside down and backwards. At best, it's upside down and backwards. But if you'll step into me, let me change your thinking. Oh, then if you'll follow me, if I'm inviting you to follow me, and I will lead and you will follow. And you got to know that you're going to start thinking about people. You're going to have eyes for people that you don't have right now. You're going to have eyes for people. Will you receive the king's decree? He's warning you right now. If you don't like people, you need to spend some more time with Jesus. Because Jesus is in the people business. And the king is warning you right up front. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Oh, you might do business and you might build businesses and you might do those things. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to be fishers of men. Will you receive my decree? I'm King Jesus. See, I think in Mark, maybe next week in Mark, we're going to see Jesus' example and we're going to follow him as he's a servant. Right now, he's the king. It's his kingdom. He makes the decrees. He says your thinking needs to change. He says, follow me. You don't get to put me in no trunk. There ain't nobody's co-pilot. I'm either driving this ship or I'm not on this ship. That's King Jesus. See, I think we got this messed up view. We got pictures of Jesus, and I believe we're going to see that. We're going to see Jesus. But the only picture we got, what's the picture of Jesus? It's usually with him or some crazy, or he's got a lamb in his arms. What about the ones with the lightning bolts coming out of his mouth? People will become more important to you. Look what he says later on. And this is from Monday night, our discussion on Monday night group. Then the whole town went out to meet with Jesus. That's a good start. The whole town went out to meet with Jesus. And they saw him and they pleaded with him, leave our region. Leave. I can do this life without you, God. And just so you know, that statement has been made to me in the last 2 weeks by two different people. I can do this better without God. I don't know. I know where that lie come from. And you filed it in the truth category. You need to get it out of the truth category and into the false category. Because if you tell Jesus to leave, he might just do it. Jesus stepped into the boat and crossed over and came to his own town. He left that region. Jesus, Tobin preached a few weeks ago, Jesus turned things around, and he turned one man's life around. He turned one man's life around. Then the whole rest of the town showed up and says, "We don't want you to turn our lives around. We want you to leave." And Jesus says, "I'm the king, but I'll honor your request." But you may want to think long and hard before you ask Jesus to leave, push the button, because he might just do it. The king might just honor your request for him to leave you alone. I ain't giving nobody that one. That's bad advice. Don't ask Jesus to leave. Look what he says here. Look what he says later on in the book of Matthew. He says this. He said, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.'" You know what the king's saying there? You know what the king's saying there? He's saying this. The king says, "There are those who are ready to receive truth. Can you see them?" Can you imagine standing there with Jesus? Imagine standing there with Jesus and said, "Man, you should see what I'm seeing. Do you see that? I want to give you eyes to see that. Do you see that there are those out there that are ready to receive truth? Well, can you see? Man, I can see them. And I want you to see them. You got to see him, John and James, and you got to see him. You got to see him." The king says, "There's those out there ready to receive truth. Will you see him? Can you see him? Can you see him?" And the king says, "Put it back. More workers are needed. More workers are needed." Can you imagine being with Jesus that day, and he's saying, "Man, I wish you could see what I'm seeing, and I'll give you eyes to see what I see, but there's a lot of people out there that are lost. There's a lot of people out there that are suffering. There's a lot of people out there that need Jesus. There's a lot of people out there that are still in that darkness, and they don't know that I've stepped down into their darkness. They don't know that I'm ready to turn their life around. They don't know that. Would you go? Would you be a part of that? Will you do that? I want you to do that. The king has offered a decree. Would you be a part of that?" The harvest is plentiful, the king says, but the workers are few. Will you help me turn this around in people's lives? Look what he says in Matthew 10. This is another decree from the king. He says he called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Because you know what? Jesus doesn't want you to see. He doesn't want you to see the need. He's going to give you authority. He said, "I want to give you authority. I give kingdom workers authority, not only to see the need, but I'm giving you authority over the evil spirits. I'm giving you authority over disease and sickness. Will you receive that? The king has a decree that they want. Will you receive that? Will you receive the authority that I'm giving you? I give authority to kingdom workers." By this time, the lady at the bank's wondering how much fun I'm going to have this week. See, King Jesus, I think we've become way too settled in not receiving the authority that the King wants to give us. And hence, evil is running rampant in our world. He said, will you let me give you authority? I give kingdom workers authority, and I want to give you authority. I want to give you authority over the sickness and the evil spirits and the diseases. And then back to the same passage, look what he says. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sicknesses. You know what I come to realize? That when God gives you the authority against evil and authority against disease and authority against sickness, guess where you start hanging out? Where that authority needs to be exercised. So you know what I think the King is saying there? I think he's saying this, push the button. I think he said, the King says, buckle up, the journey might get bumpy. Because when I give you authority, I'm going to put you where the authority is needed. And where the authority is needed is in the darkness. Where the authority is needed is where they're sick. Will you receive the authority? And not only will you receive the authority, will you let me put you where that's needed? I don't know about you, but my faith journey and where God's put me at times has felt really bumpy. But that's where the darkness is. Matthew 14 says it this way. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We only have 5 loaves and a bread and 2 fish. They answered, bring them here to me. You know what I find? And I just pondered that statement so many times, so many moments this week. You know what Jesus is saying there? You know, if I brought the need in front of you, you got the provision, even if it doesn't look like you got the provision. You know what I'm going to ask you to do? You know what the King's going to ask you to do? Push the button. He's going to ask you to do this. You know what the King's going to ask you to do? He expects us to do the impossible. Are you with me this morning? The King expects you to do the impossible. If you think it's impossible, the disciples thought that was impossible. You think that's impossible? Then you're right down the center. Why don't you just bring those loaves of bread and those fish to me, and why don't you see what the King can do? Would you just stop looking at the provision and start looking at me? I let you see the need. Don't you think I would give you the provision to meet the need? You're never under-equipped when it comes for God's kingdom. God expects us to do, the King expects us to do the impossible. Moving deeper into the Gospel of Matthew. Lord, in Matthew 14, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got up, I'd get down out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. I'm telling us right now, the King's going to invite us in something risky. Are you with me this morning? You need to hear that. Because we think that God's going to make this real comfortable. He's not going to make it comfortable. He is not going to make it comfortable. I don't know about getting out on the water, but wouldn't it have been nice if the storm would have stopped first? But if the storm hadn't stopped, he wouldn't even have been thinking about getting out of the boat. When he got out of the boat, the risk didn't end. The risk did not end. The risk got worse when he stepped out of the boat. Does that make sense this morning? You know what I find interesting? That it was Peter that got out of the boat, and it's Matthew that's writing the story. I find that very interesting. You ever think of Matthew's thinking, man, I wish I'd have got out of the boat. Man, I wish I would have. I wish I'd have taken the risk. Because I know that Peter had small faith and he began to sink, but he felt the touch of Jesus in the middle of his storm. The risk becomes more risky. And the king's decree is say, stop looking at the risk and look at me. That's what the king is saying. Will you stop looking at the risk and look at me? Stop looking at the risk and just look at me and see what I can do. Receive my decree. Matthew 16, 15, he says this. What about you? He asks, who do you say I am? He's asking his disciples. You know, I think the king is asking us that on a regular basis. Who do you say I am? Who am I right now? Who am I right now to you? Am I your spare tire? Am I your co-pilot? Am I just something you do on Sunday? Who am I? Who am I to you? Who do you say I am? Do you say I'm king? Do you say, who do you say I am, Peter? Who do you say I am, Ed? And I think the king is asking that on a regular basis. Who do you say I am? The king is saying, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Continuing, Matthew 16, 18, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. You know what inspired me this week? That the gate is plural there. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what he's saying there? He's saying this, I'm going to shut down the gates of hell that are pouring evil onto this earth. You know what, I can't wait until some of us start taking it real serious and we get around the gate of addiction and we say, you're not coming through that gate any single day beyond this day. I am tired of addiction. I am tired of what robs from people. I am tired. We have new lifers that just went to rehab. We have new lifers that need to go to rehab. We've had new lifers that have died because they didn't go to new rehab. I am tired. I am tired. And I think the church needs to get around that gate and say, no, we're shutting that gate. You will not pour that wickedness on us anymore. Amen. The king says, I'm going to give you authority and you're going to shut down gates of hell like you can't believe. You're going to shut them down. Will you stop whistling Dixie? Because I'm ready to empower you to shut down gates. The king is talking. We're not talking about prayer meetings. We're talking about gate-shutting meetings. Will you get around and be part of a gate-shutting crew? Here's the final one for today. Let me extract the final moment out of Matthew, the final decree for us today. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heaven and in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and He will put the goats on His left. And then the king will say on those on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. You know what the king's saying there? I'm coming back. one day, the king says, one day the trumpet of the Lord will blow and I will return. Do you understand? He says, do you understand that one day the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more? God is not slow, He is patient. But one day, Jesus will return. One day, the clouds will open. One day, He will come. One day, there will be a final battle. One day, evil will be done with. One day, enemy will be thrown into the lake of fire. One day, no more tears in your eye and no more grief on your heart and in your soul. One day, Jesus says, I will come back and I will set it all straight. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the rollers call up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share. Woo-hoo! That's good stuff. When His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But listen to the third verse. Let us labor for the Master from dawn till setting sun. Let us talk about His wondrous love and care. And then when this life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The King is coming back. But He's not without a kingdom now. And He wants to empower kingdom workers now. King Jesus is on the throne. Stand with me. Father, I know that this moment in my life and this moment in our lives start with one thing. One thing. It starts with one thing. It starts with repent. It starts with change your thinking. And it's followed by follow me. Let me make the calls. And then it's followed by us seeing the people. It's us seeing the harvest. Us having the eyes of Jesus. Us responding, here am I, send me, God. It's us receiving the authority. It's us being willing to go into the dark places, the sickness, and the diseased, into the darkness with the light. It takes us to receive the decrees from the King. It takes us to say, when you say King Jesus, when you say, who do you say I am? It takes us saying, you're the King. It's your kingdom. And it takes us to know that one day the King will return. But until that day comes, let us labor for the King and be kingdom people in this world that so desperately needs kingdom people. Father, I thank you for these moments together. And in the name of Jesus, amen. Have an amazing day.